We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another episode of New Orleans.Football presented by PJ's Coffee. We've got a great show for you guys today. We're going to break down the musts, needs, and wants heading into the scouting combine. Matt Ray had some interesting comments today on Twitter about the scouting combine, the process, and the value of it. We're going to discuss that and how the numbers apply to the Saints, and we're going to get into a whole lot more throughout the show. If you need a new car, make sure you check out my guy, Matt Bowers. He's got the Ford dealership next door to us here on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, but he has dealerships all over the region. Make sure you go check him out. Best cars, best prices, best customer care. It's my guy. I vouch for him. If you need a new car, make sure you hit him up and visit one of his dealerships. All right, let's get into the show. The New Orleans.Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. Let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers has an outstanding engagement salon, so if you need to get a ring for that special someone, make sure you go and check them out. They'll take care of you on that. They'll take care of you on the wedding ring. They'll take care of you on the anniversaries. Get in with them now, and they will take care of you for the rest of your life. So make sure you go and check them out. And while you're there, check out the Florida Lee earrings and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. All right. Saints are heading to the Indianapolis this week, along with the rest of the NFL universe for the scouting combine, which is mostly about evaluating top draft prospects. But this is where the free agency market kind of starts heating up. People leave here kind of knowing what their options are, even though they aren't really supposed to. But that's just the nature of when you get everybody into the same place, markets start trying to come together. This will probably be the place where the Saints start to map out their team building strategy as they get a feel for the market. It'll help them decide who they're going to keep, who they're going to let go. All this stuff. So let's go through the must, needs, and wants, and then let's specify some of the things that need to be filled in free agency so they don't get backed into a draft need.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting about the calendar. We're going to talk about everybody in the NFL is going to start talking about draft choices now because the combine is where they take center stage. But it's like you can't marry yourself to that person. Free agency comes first. It's 2 weeks away. So the best offseason you can have is when you fill every one of these in free agency, in theory, so that you can draft whatever you want. Every draft pick feels like a luxury if you do it right. Easier said than done, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so let's start with the must. As we're running through these, it feels like defensive end edge rusher is a massive one.
We could have put it in a different color.
I think they need two.
Fire on it.
let's rephrase. Do they need two?
Yeah, I put this as the number one must, and then I put the double up at D. We're gonna say later as a want. You do need one. You need one. You absolutely need one. You could really, really even use two. It's that big of a need that, and especially if we're putting defensive tackle in the mix too. If you're getting pass rush from there, you're putting outside linebacker in the mix and getting some pass rush. They need more pass rush. More pass rush. One guy alone isn't enough to solve it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely two. I don't know. I don't know if a must for two, but I think two should be on the priority list. I think the next thing that they got to figure out, and this needs to be solved like today, is figuring out what they're doing with Lattimore. But when they leave the combine, they need to know, are we trading this guy? Or are we keeping him?
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting going through it. We'll get into it a little bit more in one of the Martin's questions of the day. But they need to know who's on their team. Because if he's not, I think it changes your strategy in free agency too. Because if you're trading him, you're getting a first-round pick probably if you're going to do it at the draft time. So that allows you to kind of have the flexibility of, okay, we're going to address this through the draft. And or at least you could say we're going to get an offensive tackle at one of these picks or something like that. And that's how you address it.
Yeah.
If he's on your team, you need to have a different plan in free agency to fill your needs.
Question.
So, yeah, I think it is a must to know what you're doing. I think that kind of holds up the kind of the filling it out, how you're going to move forward.
If Lattimore is truly staying on this team and they've had a good conversation with him and he's committed and they're not worried about trading him, then cornerback falls pretty low on my list. I mean, I'd probably bring back Isaac Yiadom as my fourth, but if I have Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, I might still draft one just because it's such an important position. But all of a sudden, it plummets.
Take it off the list. You keep Lattimore, take it off the list. Yeah. It's not even on my list at that point. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. It's not a need at all. I mean, you could, not even down the road because you got two young guys still. Yeah. So I think it's still a spot where if you have him, it changes the complexion of the whole thing. If you take him out of the mix, I'm upgrading it to a need, maybe not a must, because you can't play with the guys on the outside. But now your four highest position values are, and five even, because wide receiver's up there now. But it's quarterback, offensive tackle, pass rusher, cornerback. And I think cornerbacks even have been outpricing other guys. So you have three of the four biggest needs are the most expensive, hardest to acquire positions on the team. So I still disagree with, I don't care. And I kind of know some of the stuff. Like, I don't think any of it, for me, rises to the level of like red alarm. You got to get them out of here.
Yeah.
I could see being open to it, which they obviously are open to trading them. It's not an absolute must get them out of the building. I try to solve it, man, because it's just you're creating a hole that I don't think you need to have on your team. So,
I agree. And well, the other question is how much does he want out? Because he signed that contract too, and he signed that contract that he has to wait to get his money until September. Because I think you only do that if you maybe are hoping another team is the one.
Yeah, I mean, you can always rewrite that, though. You say, hey, man, like, we want to solve this. Okay, well, I want my money. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
we'll rewrite the contract. Yeah.
Renew our vows.
Yeah. Or even not an extension. You could just change that option bonus back into a signing bonus and write the check. I mean, if that's what it takes to solve it, do it. But we're going to see. They're going to explore their options. If you get enough, I mean, anybody's tradable. But it's, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's irreconcilable at this
I hope
point.
Not. I hope not, because he's the best player on the team if it's not. And you feel way better about this team if he's not. I mean, he never used to miss games. He's missed so many games the last 2 years. He's missed enough games to if you tell me he played 17 games healthy each of the last 2 years, they might have gone to the playoffs both times.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's how big of a difference
he's worth the win, absolutely. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, moving down the list, offensive tackle slash guard on the last one. You know, I think it's both for me. It's both. I think you need both. It's
but again, this is just like defensive end edge rusher. Need one. Two would be nice. Need, or must one. Must one, want two.
I think it's if you bring Pete back, you can get away with one. Okay. If you don't bring Pete back, it's two. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You
agree with
totally
that?
Totally fair. I mean, because otherwise, I mean, what are you penciling? If you don't bring Pete back, are you penciling in Trevor Penning as your starting left tackle and James Hurst as your starting left guard? I mean, if you have Penning, Hurst, and Pete, maybe I don't need two more in addition to all three of those guys. Nick Saldivari is also a candidate. If you're not bringing one of those guys back, then it's two for sure.
Yeah. Physical pass catcher, Mike Thomas is going to be moving on almost certainly. So yeah, I think that's one that they need to get on the team. I might consider that a need more than a must, but it's up there. It's a very high level need. It kind of hits that point. And yeah, backup quarterback. I can't sit here and say Jake Haener's like if Carr misses a bunch of games.
Well,
you're
Jameis Winston, it's not completely out of the question they don't re-sign him, but if they don't re-sign him, someone like him you need on this team? Or would you be comfortable with Trevor Siemian level? Or does it have to be more Jameis, Dalton, Bridgewater level?
It's so hard to answer that because we've seen the injury literally every single year. Yeah. So they've relied on the backup quarterback every single year since 19, right? Since 19, yeah. So it's tough to kind of be like, they don't need – like, yeah, I think you got to try to be – solid there. I think you got to swing a little bit, and then that kind of brings you to the point of, can you fix Jameis's contract and keep him here and save money and have the good backup?
The good thing is, I think there's a lot of that level of quarterback available, especially with five guys expected to be drafted in the top, 40 picks or so. I think veterans at that level, like Tampa Bay getting Baker for free last year, I think you can find guys like that if that's what you want to invest. Real quick though, before we move past this graphic. I think defensive end is such a must, and Marshawn Lattimore is such a must that you have to fill those two things in March. Offensive tackle, guard, are you okay waiting until the draft?
Yeah, I'm okay waiting until the draft, but I think you got to bring Pete back. I'm trying to keep Pete in.
Keep Pete and then draft.
Yeah, and look, my thing here is that I expect Ramczyk to be back. I expect him to play, all that stuff, but you got to go into the season with the plan of what happens if he goes down, and you got to have a high-level succession plan there. So I'm drafting, there's maybe somebody with even versatility. Maybe you get a guy that can, do both a little bit. You got Saldivari there, so you can count on him a little bit. But yeah, I'm definitely okay waiting until the draft for that. And same with physical pass catcher. I'm okay waiting to the draft for that too.
Okay.
And then, backup, you kind of got to see what happens. All right, let's move on to the needs. Defensive tackle, it's top of the list. I mean, I think that one's clear. I mean, the run defense can't be what it was last year. It just can't. They have to be better at that position.
They have to be better, but they just drafted Brzee. They signed Colin Saunders and Nathan Shepard, who I think both have guaranteed money this year. They're not going anywhere. So how are you upgrading that? Are you getting a better veteran than Saunders or Shepard and making those guys backups? Are you spending money at it? Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get – I said this before. I think you can get like a Tyler Davison type player that can just be a big nose tackle that's solid against a run for like nothing. Like nose. If you just get a guy that's –
So you're thinking nose tackle.
Yeah, you need a run defender. Mm-hmm. Brian Brzee at this point doesn't – hopefully,
he's not a nose
hopefully
tackle.
He comes back and factors into the ability to be a run defender, but he doesn't yet. So – maybe that's part of it. I just don't think that you got the consistent play from it yet. So I would bring somebody in that can help me with my run defense a little bit. I think having better edge play helps with that too at a certain point. But yeah, I would just try to add somebody cheap or like a mid-round pick, late day two, day three, someone that can help you out at that position. But I don't think it doesn't need to be anyone that gives you pass rush. It's just, I think, somebody that can help you with your run defending.
This list would be helped out if the Saints actually had mid-round picks. They don't this year.
Linebacker depth, where are you at on that?
That's got to be a draft thing. I mean, I don't see how you sign anyone in free. I mean, I kind of want to bring back Zach Bond, playing the role he played, especially as they figured out how to use him in more pass rush situations. But I don't know how you sign a real linebacker that costs money in free agency and tell him, sitting behind DeMario Davis and Pete Werner. Draft, absolutely. And I feel the same way about safety. Unless they decide to move on from Marcus May, then it becomes a must.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, safety depth doesn't have to cost a lot either. Just get another guy there. Yeah. All right. Going on to the next list, the wants. Double up at DE. We kind of touched on this. Yeah, I think this is almost like I almost push it up a little bit to the next one a little bit because it just feels like something that they need so bad. And I just don't know that we saw enough out of Cam last year to feel good about what they have. I think you need to go three deep.
Well, I mean, this is what it looks like right now. It's Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson. You almost have to say Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, based on the way they played last year. But those are the two penciled-in starters. Tano Passanio, Peyton Turner, if they get anything out of him. Isaiah Foskey, if they get anything out of him. And then I think your most expensive free agent signing and maybe your number 14 draft pick. At least one or the other. I think an expensive free agent signing or a first-round draft pick is the must part of this. But the other one is someone to compete for the three or four spot, I think.
or if you get someone, yeah, compete and then develop. Even more O-line depth. We kind of hit on that one. Yep. I agree. Yeah, just keep adding to it at some point. I mean, you gotta just fill it out and get better options on what you've had. Even more wide receiver tight end depth. If you had to pick one or the other, which one are you picking?
I kind of feel like, well, I just wrote about this today on the website, neworleans.football. You got to subscribe. We're still killing it on the website every day. I cheated and said pass catcher is my number, whatever I called it, my number three need on the team. But I'm willing to let it come from either spot. Like, if they want to sign Dalton Schultz, if they want to, you know, you can't count on drafting Brock Bowers. But, like, if they drafted Brock Bowers or signed Dalton Schultz, well, then they've solved it through tight end. It's probably easier to find the big wide receiver. It's Tyler Boyd in free agency or something. But basically, I want one big signing, either in free agency or an early draft pick, and then the other one can be a depth. But tight end, if you're not going high on tight end, you do need depth. They're going to lose Jimmy Graham this year. They do need someone else at that position. So I'd say one significant investment, one depth investment.
Tight end is such an interesting position to me because, like, when people actually hit at that position, I think it changes the team more so than maybe anything else. Like, teams that have, like, a legitimately elite tight
Kittle,
end.
Kittle, LaPorta, I mean.
Absolutely. Jimmy Graham changed the Saints in a way that didn't. Travis Kelce changed the Chiefs to the point where they didn't need Tyreek Hill even to continue to be extremely successful. Gronk changed the Patriots. Tony Gonzalez changed the Chiefs. Like, the superstar actual tight ends that are, like, in that top tier, just Antonio Gates. They just change a team in a way that's just, I don't know, the matchup nightmare that they become is different than anybody else. And I saw somebody, and I can't remember who it was. I was reading a study the other day about, like, the impact these guys actually have on a team. And they go to the playoffs more so than, like, so-called number one wide receivers. Because I think they do create that dealer's choice.
It's a cheat code.
It really is.
But, okay, so let's say, well, that's what the Saints should do. Okay, give me the who. I mean, Brock Bowers is a conversation, although
they miss
rookie
all the
tight
time,
ends
though,
aren't. They miss all the time on that. And free agency, it's kind of like, I mean, does Dalton Schultz do that for you? I don't think he necessarily did that for Houston in a similar offense.
Yeah, I agree.
At least he has some exposure to a similar offense. I'd consider it, but he's not the kind of guy we were talking about.
Yeah, like the generational type tight ends, like, they just, they're special, man. Even more cornerback depth, we hit on that one. Punter, just sign Morstead, man, and just kind of just make it easy.
Somebody, we did not pick it for the Martins question of the day, but shout out to the person I replied to them directly who said, do you think they should draft? They know I went to Iowa. They said, do you think they should draft the Iowa punter and solve that problem or bring back Morstead? And I'm like, yeah, I'm biased on both. Yes, give me an Iowa punter or Thomas Morstead. I'll be happy either way.
And what about running back? How you feel about that one?
That's a draft thing for me. I mean, you've got Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams. If something changed with one of those guys, then it would become a bigger need. But maybe you bring in another young guy because Kamara and Williams might both be in their final year on the team.
Yeah.
But really, really low desire. I mean, I would love to run it back with Kamara, Williams, and Kendre Miller and promise me that you can show me what they look like healthy in a functional run-blocking offense. I actually liked that trio. And it was one of the biggest disappointments of the team last year.
I think I'm super interested to see if this offense does anything for Jamal. Just because last year was so bad, can they just make it better? Can he be better in it? I don't know. We're going to find out. I think that's a huge question going into the season, though, not just for the Saints, but for his career as well. Because if this doesn't work out, you know, I don't know what happens for him next. Someone will pick him up, but, like, the earning power, if you have two seasons of that, I think is completely dissipated. All right. Moving on to our next segment, which is sponsored by Hardhide Ponchatoula's strawberry whiskey that is not for the thin-skinned. Look for the red bottle in your grocery stores. They got the Gator on there. It looks very, very New Orleans. All right. Which prospects or position groups in particular are you curious about this week as the top 14 picks in this draft class take even more shape at the scouting combine?
Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks and the receivers are going to make the headlines, especially since they're probably going to be the top six picks in the draft. It'll be like quarterback, 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 receiver, receiver, receiver in the draft. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels aren't going to work out. That'll take a little shine off the event. But J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix will, Spencer Rattler will. And these are guys that we might start saying, should the Saints consider them? So they'll enter the conversation, especially if one of those guys gets a ton of buzz. But Saints-specific, it's the positions that we talked about. How much buzz does Brock Bowers get at tight end? How much buzz does Dallas Turner get at defensive end? The Atlanta edge rusher just turned 21 this month. He is going to be a guy. He's already 6'4", 232. I think teams are going to see his traits and try to figure out how much can he grow into that frame. How long are his arms? If he's got, you know, big, long arms, he's 242 now. He'll probably play bigger than that in the NFL. He's a guy who could really help himself. Another edge rusher, Leatu Latu. The medical is going to be big for him at the combine. And then just the offensive line position. There are like 8 or 9 guys who can move up into the top 10 overall, who can move into round 1 overall. They're going to be trading position. Can this guy play left guard and left tackle? Can this guy play right tackle and left tackle? You know, I think some of these guys are going to be threatening Teron Armstead's like numbers and stuff. It's a fascinating offensive tackle group that could just load up the middle half of that draft, which is great news for the Saints.
It almost feels like when you play through like dynasty mode and like a Madden, and like you just start getting all the creative players. Like it almost feels like there's like a computer glitch here because there are like 3 offensive tackles with an F last name that are going to go in the first round, and like that you could take any of them.
Taliesin Fuaga. Troy Fatanu.
Yeah, and there's a Fashanu, right, from Penn State.
Oh yeah, Ola Fashanu, and then BYU's Kingsley Suamataia. Right. Could get himself into the first round too. So there's 5.
Yeah, I mean, but like it's just like they ran out of names, and you got like it's like the Hurricane. You got all the F names on there. Like it's just crazy. So yeah, that's a position that I think you're looking at 14 for me. Like if I got to circle a guy, like I want them to end up with Dallas Turner right now. Like going into the comment, that's kind of the guy that I feel like
makes
changes
you wish
things
the draft
for him.
Could come first, doesn't it? Don't you want to know you get him?
A little bit. I mean, look, I would even be willing to trade up a little bit to get just that pass rusher that you have to get. I don't know if he's going to make it to 14, though. I don't know if he falls there. Jared Verse is the other guy that I think they're talking about in that range. Both of them are undersized. So I think that you kind of have to change. Like the idea of getting the 6'4", 270 guy, like that's over. Like those players don't exist anymore. The game has changed. It's gotten smaller. It's gotten faster. The college game is played this way. Like you have to be willing to go a little bit smaller for your guys. So that's going to be interesting to me, just kind of hearing how they feel about this class of pass rushers too. Like just the thought process, like are you open to this? Do you try to change them? Do you just bring them in and let them play how they play? Like what is the thought process? How have you evolved in this thinking with that? And I think you have to, because that's just what the league or what college is producing for the league.
Well, and Turner could let him do it just halfway too. Like I said, he's 6'4". I think he's going to have one of the longest wingspans in the entire draft class. So it's not like they're going down to a 6'2", 235 guy and really having to sell their souls to do it, you know?
Bowers is somebody that, you know, I think I'm super interested in. All right. With the combines coming up, we mentioned in the lead up to the show that Matt Ray had some interesting comments about the process. So, this is what he had to say. Data were never that valuable. There was a report on the Packers coach not going to the combine. So he said data were never that valuable. And now that we can get in game speed data on college games, combine data is definitely obsolete. I would prefer players took time off after the season to let their bodies heal instead of rushing into aggressive training for obsolete combine data. That's kind of just, there's a lot there, because I know Jeff Ireland and them, like they go there and they like the numbers to create their historical context, but I don't disagree with Ray here. Like
they can get their number. He's saying they can get their numbers from timing them in their actual college
games.
The
problem though is that you don't have the database of like, okay, this guy ran this in 1980, this guy ran it in 2020, this guy ran it in 24. How does it compare? What did this guy do? Like you can kind of take that stuff, build your profiles. I know we all like talk about the RAS scores, that isn't actually how they draft players. It's just kind of how those numbers.
It mirrors things they value.
It fits
though.
Into it fits into their prototypes, and it just kind of overlaps. But that's not how they do it. But yeah, he's saying they can get all that data, and I don't disagree with them. There's so many guys that come into these rookie camps that are just like not in football shape. They get too thin. They get away from football. They aren't working on their craft. Like I would rather my quarterback that I'm drafting spend the whole entire summer working on quarterback stuff instead of spending 60% on that and 40% making sure they can run, like,
which
it's
is
a waste of time. Yeah,
it doesn't match what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
Look, the Saints should just go ahead and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. then, because he is skipping everything because he knows he's getting drafted where he's getting drafted no matter what. And he said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to train for. He's not even going to do it at his pro day, which is a step further than these guys who don't do it at the combine. He's said, you've seen me.
Yeah,
draft
me. I think Ray's right, and I think at some point. And the league will fight tooth and nail to not allow it to happen because they've turned this into like a tentpole event. But I think he's right. And I do think that a lot of this stuff is kind of obsolete. But there is no doubt about it that people place value in it. And I know the Saints do too. Like, we've asked them a million times about it, and they'll say, like, yeah, people say underwear Olympics, but we don't view it that way. Like, we like it. We like having the data, all that stuff. But yeah, it's definitely
what's
something.
What's interesting is C.J. Stroud is changing the narrative on the cognitive testing. The Saints really liked the new cognitive test, and
they were at the forefront of it.
He blew it up by saying first, like, it got leaked that he had a bad score, which hurt his draft stock. Maybe it was the difference between him going one or two. So first of all, the fact that that got leaked turned into a big story, and then the fact that it didn't prove to be a good guide for how much success C.J. Stroud would have. And now what? His agency is saying we're telling all of our clients not to take that. So a lot of
athletes
traditional ways
too,
of thinking.
Like one of the biggest ones.
A lot of traditional ways of using this combine are being questioned right now.
No doubt about it. And then they're going to have another guy there at the combine. Dave Ziegler is coming on as a consultant. Worked for the Patriots for like 8 or 9 years. Was the GM in Oakland for 2 years. He's going to be giving them, I heard, help on both sides, college and pro. A lot of his background is in pro scouting, but he was a GM in Oakland or Las Vegas for 2 years.
Inform you that Raiders moved.
I'm the old guy that can't change up with the times. But yeah, he's going to be there helping him out too. So just a little bit more brain power in the front office. We're going to get into some more stuff right after this short break. Kind of exploring some of their moves in free agency, where they hit, where they didn't, all that, and a whole lot more right after this break.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, ask the chat who they would draft at 14. And this is like, this might be like one of the quietest drafts in a while because it seems like everybody's on the same page. Everybody in there wants an OT, a pass rusher, or Brock Bowers, which is kind of, it's just such an obvious way to go about it. I can't remember the last time everybody was aligned like that since like Sheldon Rankins.
There's not a lot of Brian Thomas Jr. because he went to LSU. Is that a certain section of the fan base?
I think people are realistic that watch this show because they're a little bit more informed. The people that spend the time watching our show or any of the other shows on here usually have a little bit better takes than the people just spouting off on social media that don't necessarily put in the time. But all right. Last week we had an interesting segment.
Wait, I just want to say real quick, if you're the type that likes to spout off on social media, there's a home for you here too. We have a lot of good supporters who enjoy social
media. Yeah, but their takes
media.
Are going to be better. Like they're putting in the work. They're putting in the work. Yeah,
you're making the pool strong.
Informed spouting off. We're all for that because that's what we do. We're informed spout off. So,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's kind of should be on our business cards.
Last week we had an interesting segment where we took turns drafting the most costly free agents the Saints have lost since 2020. Let's kind of flip that a little bit and take a look at the free agent additions they've made from other teams over that span. Kind of just go through who hit and who did not hit since this is the week where a lot of stuff kind of starts coming together.
List.
It is.
We talk about how poorly they've drafted or how low their draft success is and how that has sort of deteriorated the roster. This is not a great list either.
It's not. Last year, Derek Carr.
No, we're starting with 2020.
My bad, we're starting at 20. Counting it up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We got Malcolm Jenkins in 20, Jameis Winston, James Hurst, Emmanuel Sanders, Ty Montgomery, and Margus Hunt. Remember Margus Hunt?
Yeah. He was like 6'8".
Yeah.
So, I didn't hate this. I didn't hate this class. Look, Malcolm Jenkins, they kept Marcus Williams that year, right? Or is that even 2 years below? Marcus Williams didn't leave until 2022. So, yeah, Malcolm Jenkins, why am I drawing a blank? He replaced Von Bell. He replaced Von Bell. It was kind of an even trade. He was a slow starter, and he only gave him 2 years. But He came fairly cheap. Jameis Winston, obviously we know that they've invested a lot in him, gave him a chance to start. Hurst was a sneaky great pickup. I mean, last year, when we get ahead to 2023, we're going to see a Trey Turner, a Max Garcia, Storm Norton, those guys all in the same class didn't really, you know, Trey Turner got hurt, obviously. Storm Norton didn't even make the roster. Max Garcia was a backup. Hurst ended up being a really good value signing, and he's still a core player of the team. I'm okay with a class like this.
Solid class. Emmanuel Sanders, I thought, was going to have more of an impact on the team. And I think he had a decent season that year, but it just kind of
wasn't great. I thought he was going to be exactly within it. Like, I was doing, like, and they got him for cheap. Like, I thought he was going to be, like, a really expensive player, and they got him for a really good deal. He felt like exactly what they needed. That was almost C.J. Spiller, like, how wrong I was about his impact.
He was solid. He was solid that year. I mean, he wasn't transformative, but I think he was a solid signing for him. C.J. Spiller was, like, a complete miss. Sanders gave him some decent numbers, scored some touchdowns.
But my expectations for Sanders were as high as my expectations for Spiller, I should say. He did not fail to meet them as much as Spiller did.
And they had some injuries that year, and, like, he still put up decent numbers and everything. I mean, he finished with 726. Like, if C.J. Spiller ran for 726 yards,
that was a bad comp. I'm just talking about how excited I was. I actually circled the names. We're going to get to Jarvis Landry later, who was more C.J. Spiller-like.
That's fair.
I circled two names on this list, Emmanuel Sanders, Jarvis Landry, who comes 2 years later on this list, but two guys that felt like the absolute perfect fits to me. And I'm kind of a little surprised that neither one was the next, like, Lance Moore for this team. But Sanders did come closer.
The injuries, too, I think, to Breeze kind of hurt Sanders. Like, he can run, you know what I mean? Like, I think it kind of limited things a little bit, too. All right, going to 2021. Tano Passanio, Nick Vanette, Alex Arma.
COVID.
Yes, I really have nothing to say here. Like, Tano's been a depth player, but yeah, I got nothing to say here.
This is the year they lost Trey Hendrickson. They did franchise tag Marcus Williams, which was actually really uncomfortable for them with what they were going through on the salary cap, because you can't hide money when you franchise tag. You can't put five void years on a franchise tag player, but they had nothing left to spend in free agency. Look, Tano was a really good value signing. He's still a part of the team. They've re-signed him maybe twice since then. And he's played a lot of valuable snaps. The other guys, Arma didn't even make the 53-man roster that year. Vanette was gone a year or two later.
Vanette is now with the Chargers. All right. I had no idea where he ended up. But, yeah, they thought they were going to turn him into, like, more of a pass catcher. That was the whole thing. And then it just never happened. How many passes did he catch in 21? 9. And then he had 2 the next year, and then he ended up with the Giants after released.
But there's a history of that. I mean, that's the Foster Moreau story, too. That's not necessarily the J.P. Holt story, but, like, that's a hidden thing that we'll be very curious to see. Just all the new ideas coming to the building, and more than firing Pete Carmichael and more than hiring somebody who runs a version of the Kubiak-Shanahan offense, more than Kubiak himself – they just needed new ideas in this building, and that's a position where they haven't had a lot of good ideas.
I think there's probably, like, a league full of tight ends, though, where people are like, oh, we're going to get him, and he's got better hands than he's shown, and then it just never actually happens. I think there's probably, like, a lot of ability to have false hope at that spot. All right, let's move on to 22. Tyrann Mathieu, Marcus May, Jarvis Landry, Andy Dalton, Daniel Sorensen, Justin Evans, Kentavious Street, Taco Charlton, J.P. Holtz. Not a bad class overall.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, you got a lot out of Mathieu. We've talked about May. I mean, I think he's been a solid signing. Like, there's a little bit more upend on that a little bit, I think. Andy Dalton, he was fine. He did his thing for the price. Landry, big miss, big bust. Disappointment, too. He was supposed to be, like, a locker room leader. Ended up not being that. There was some issue. Like, he wanted to play, you know. I just don't think he ended up
and
being
that didn't happen until later
wanted.
Though, because if you go back in the New Orleans football archives, like, the second article I ever read was he played a big part in that comeback win over Atlanta. He was the one running off the field with Dennis Allen patting him on the back. Like, he was, and he all that OTAs, all that training camp, he was vocal on the field. Like, I was writing that he was, like, a home run free agent signing. Well, how did the rest of the league miss on him? He is a leader in the locker room. And then when he got hurt and the production went away and his role went away and then his leadership kind of went, like, It soured so fast. At the end of week one, I thought they hit a home run with that sign.
Well, he came here because he said he wanted to play with Jameis, too, and then Jameis ended up not being the starter, yeah. So I think that was part of it. And then, the injury happened, and I think the injury kind of ended his season. But, I think there was just time for that to go the other way. Huge disappointment there, though. He was supposed to be, like, a foundational core guy. And, everybody thought he was going to be, and then he wasn't. Sorensen was a good signing. He was good on special teams, had a couple turnovers. I mean, Justin Evans ended up locking down a position, costed nothing. And again, safeties, man, they scout him so well. A year later, 2 years later, it's Abram, the same type of player. And then, everybody else just kind of was unnotable. But
you can't talk about Matthew and May, though, without pointing out that they chose to go cheaper with Matthew and May than to re-sign Marcus Williams. Malcolm Jenkins also retired that year, so they totally revamped the back end of their secondary. And for when it comes to bang for the buck, you mentioned the other day you probably would have kept Marcus Williams. Maybe it comes out a little even because Matthew was $3 or $4 million per year cheaper than Marcus Williams. What do you like better? If you had to choose Williams and his contract or Matthew and his contract?
Well, I think you got the two here, and I think the alternate reality is Marcus Williams and probably like a second or third round pick, which they do a really good job of drafting these guys. So, it's you got younger, and then I don't know. You got the turnovers here. I like Tyron in the locker room a lot. I like Tyron on the field a lot. It's tough to say.
If you decided that you didn't want to pay Marcus Williams, this was a good backup plan.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it. I think Dore was just, you got the elite player, and then you probably draft somebody that's as good as Marcus May. And, I think Tyron and, Marcus Williams to me is I don't know, he's one of the better safeties in the league. Yeah. It's still at this point. All right, going to 23. Derek Carr, Nathan Shepard, Colin Saunders, Jamal Williams, Foster Moreau, Jimmy Graham, Brian Edwards, Lonnie Johnson Jr., Jonathan Abram, Trey Turner, Max Garcia, Storm Norton.
It's just, do we have closed caption? I want to know how to spell that. E-H-H-H-H?
That's just kind of what it is, right? I mean, it's fine.
We celebrated the Carr signing. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm putting the Carr signing in the same category as how I felt about Emmanuel Sanders, how I felt about even Jarvis Landry to an extent. But mostly Emmanuel Sanders, like, screaming big need, really had to address it, had a huge void that needed to be filled, and ended up getting a better value dollar deal than we even thought. We thought it might cost a lot more. Obviously, the results didn't come right away, and things were so ugly for a little while. He's being booed. I think people are kind of back to where they were with expectations for him 11 months ago based on how he finished the season. There was a glimmer of hope that, that's what it was supposed to look like. Now there's better coaching. So for a team that had nothing at that position, I still think it was the right move. I mean, obviously, I guess you could say they should have signed Baker Mayfield instead, but we all thought of Baker Mayfield as another Jameis, as another Dalton.
And he would have been here. He wouldn't have had the season he had here. Yeah, true. Look, I was the one leading the Carr thing before anything. So, but that doesn't mean I got to say it was the right move forever. Like, I like the idea of it. It doesn't mean that it's going to manifest that way. Like, I'm wrong on stuff all the time, and I'll be the first one to admit it and walk that back and whatever. I mean, so I'm not going to be married to a take as I had to take. I think it's too soon to close the door on him, though, for sure. I mean, you got the better coaching. He was injured last year. Let's see how it goes this year. I think you give him this season as well, and then you have your judgment at that point. But I think we're still collecting data on that. Like, I'm fine waiting on it. I just think the class overall here was just kind of very underwhelming. Like, they didn't get to change. I thought Jamal Williams was I thought that was going to be a home run signing for him. $4 million for the guy that had 17 touchdowns the year before. That didn't work out. It went horribly. I think Foster Moreau was a great signing for him on the field and in the locker room. He's somebody that kind of has, like, foundational core leadership traits that I think is important in that locker room. I don't think the DTs changed things a lot. I think they hit on Lonnie and Abram, though. Very cheap signings.
Lonnie, Abram, and then I was going to point out, we didn't put Isaac Yiadom and Ugo Amadi on this list because they actually came late the season before. But those are also, Michael Parenton's department, pro personnel department, free agent signings. That has been a really good kind of honey hole for them. Their veteran defensive back depth signings have been really good for the last couple of years.
Yeah, no, Parents in that group have done a great job of finding, like, value, low value. Like, Sorensen's another one. Yeah, they've just done a really good job of kind of finding those guys off the street.
Shepherd and Saunders. I would actually say they kind of – I did not have high expectations for them. They did not pay them a lot
of money.
Solid. I actually thought they paid more than I thought they would cost. I would say they – kind of achieved as expected.
They were solid.
But it means they probably should have invested more.
Yeah. I think there's still a guy away from having that group be perfect. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I think they kind of went in, tried to revamp it with cheaper players. And, yeah, they were fine.
Yeah.
They were fine.
Just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they paid for fine.
They paid for fine. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our Martin's question of the day. We actually got two of them today. Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. There's been reports that the Lions will be aggressive this new league year to accumulate top-tier talent in the draft and possibly free agency to upgrade their secondary. Do you think it's possible they may be interested in Lattimore? And if so, at what cost? Pick 29 this year. So here's the thing. If they trade him now, there's – what is it, like $8 million in dead money or something like that? Like if they
more like it's like 18, yeah.
Okay, there's a ton of dead money. So yeah, I mean, there's the savings and then the dead money, whatever the offset is. It ends up costing them a lot to trade him. Now they could trade him after June 1st, split it and do the June 1st charge. That way, I think you're willing to take less on June 1st. But if you trade him now, like you got to 29's like as low as I'm willing to go. Like I got to get the first round pick if I'm paying the money because. At that point, I'm basically buying the draft pick. And there's value to that. If you can buy a draft pick and then, you know, get another first rounder, there's value to that. But I'm not doing it for anything else. Like, you have to get – it might be 29 and, like, everybody always gets mad at Mickey for throwing in the sweetener. Like, I need the sweetener from the other team. Yeah.
I've been thinking of it in terms of 29 all along. First of all, I don't want to trade Marshawn Lattimore. And I – can't imagine the Saints really want to trade Marshawn Lattimore unless they just feel like there's you know, behind the scenes, this thing's just not getting better. We have to move on if we can get the proper value for him. So I will call this proper value. This is not enough to make me be like, yeah, the 29th pick is better than Marshawn Lattimore. I don't think so.
Not at all.
But it is proper value. This is the trade. Like, kudos to I can't read that. My eyes aren't good enough.
It's not a real word.
I apologize. But it's the trade. I think that's the trade. I think it's the right team. I think it's the right concept. I think it's the right value. I think that's what we're talking about. I think, and if it's not that, if the Lions are saying, we'll give you our second, then I'll say, well, thanks, but no thanks. We're not sending you to the NFC Championship game with our guy that easily.
Isaiah Alex, I think is his name.
Oh, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming my eyesight.
No. I'm good. I'm just shouting him out.
I'm
shouting him out. But yeah, I think if you do it, you got to eat the dumb money. You got to get the pick. You have to. Yeah. And again, if you're waiting and it's just like, okay, we got to get him out of here. Like, I think you take a little less.
Back to our dead money conversation from the other day, though. Please check it out if you want us to ramble about the cap for a long time. I listened back. It was better than I thought. Like, I felt like I was rambling at the time, but you know. We had a lot of points we wanted to get across. The one thing, the dead money would be huge if they trade Marshawn Lattimore before June 1st. But the one benefit is he would never be on the books again. Like, there's no – June 1st would be part of it this year, part of it next year. If you did it this year, you would have to then move all this money around to fit it. But there'd be no more Lattimore dead money ever again. So since the cap is fluid, they could find a way. If it gets them the pick they want, they'll find a way.
And then going to our second one. Which Saints player most deserves an honorary sandwich at Martin's, and what would you put on it?
Go ahead. You wanted this. Let's
hear it. Give what you got.
I mean, I wasn't creative enough.
All right,
This is a late comer, mine's pretty – no, you've got the showstopper, so I'll go first. I mean, I was just going to go Alvin. Alvin's the guy that everyone loves. People would eat an Alvin sandwich just because it's named after Alvin. They'd feel cool eating it. They wouldn't even really care what's on it. Other people – you have to design the sandwich that people are going to want and then put the name in. Alvin can sell a sandwich on name alone. That was all I came up
with. So I did not put a lot of thought into it. but I think the guy that I would go with, because I think he has a cool name, and I want someone that's going to promote it and that's going to really be into it that I can use to market it. And I think he would embrace it, and he's got the right personality and the right level of goofiness.
Rhymes with Moreau.
No, I'm going with Saunders, man. I'm going with the bank.
All
the bank sandwich. You throw all the cold cuts on there.
Yeah.
Who you going with? I mean, maybe.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's got honey in the name already.
Go, Honey Badger.
If you didn't hear
little,
that, Brandon threw out Honey Badger. Yeah, it was an obvious choice.
Honey Chicken, you said?
He's making money over there.
I'm going with the Bink, though, man. I mean, you get the sandwich.
It's
going to
be a loaded sandwich.
You throw
too.
All the cold cuts on there, just kind of put everything on there. Sheldon Rankin's would have been a great one for the turkey.
If you're eating
the
Bink,
mac and cheese.
If you're eating the Bink, you're kind of flexing too. Like, yeah, I ordered the Bink.
Yeah.
I can eat it too.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, but. I want someone like Bink's gonna embrace that thing, man. He's gonna be tweeting about it. He's gonna be eating it. That's the guy
I want. You're the decision maker for New Orleans football. All the good ideas come from you. Now we see why.
But yeah, all right. I don't know. That's all we got. Go check out Martin's. Buy a car from Matt Bowers. Drink a PJ's coffee. Drink some hard hide.
And eat a Bink.
Yeah. do whatever you got to do. We'll be back this week. Our next show will be coming to you from Indianapolis from the Combine. We'll have a lot of stuff to break down from there, a lot of insights, a lot of analysis. If you aren't signed up for the site, make sure you do that. Take care of that. And we'll see you next time.